We're going to be here with you till 9 o'clock. If you want to give us a call, we'd love to hear from you at 855-915-WMFO. And now we are on to Derek. What are we on? We're so angry tonight. It's all going very slow.
I'm going to be angry at the young people now. I think we have young people listening to this program.
I think it's on National U.
Axios is a relatively young news outlet. They more or less try to be bipartisan in everything they do, and they try to get back to straight news.
Oh, it's a delicate dance.
Yeah. So, you know, generally speaking, they're young, so they don't have a track record, a deep track record, but they're generally straight down the middle on what they give you. So Axios conducted an exclusive poll. Young Americans are embracing socialism.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Stick around, Shay. How's your goodness.
I used to call my best friend from college a communist because she liked, don't get me wrong, I love Bernie Sanders and I think some things should be socialized, but at the same time, you effing dummies. Are you kidding me?
So they don't, one of the things I like about Axios is they don't put a lot of context around stuff. They don't put a lot of opinion around stuff. They just give you the facts and then give you a setup for it. And this is what they had to say. Generation Z has a more positive view of the word socialism.
Gross, I just threw up in my mouth.
Generation Z has a
Stop
more...
Stop saying Generation Z.
I have
Z.
To say it. Stop. Generation Z has a more positive view of the word socialism than previous generations and, along with millennials, are more likely to embrace socialistic policies and principles than past generations, according to a new Harris poll given exclusively to Axios. And then they have the breakdown on this. Percent of millennials and Gen Z agreeing with statement. The government should provide universal health care. Total population, 66.7% of us agree with that statement. Universal health care is popular.
That I can hop on board.
Millennials and Generation Z, 73.2%.
Stop saying that.
So they're a little bit more on board with this than the population at large. That's fine. Government should provide tuition-free college. 56.
Then you think you are. Listening to this. But it's just, I remember being 19 and having these grandiose ideas about how things should be. But I was wrong, and you are too.
But they're young and naive, and we can grant them some latitude on that.
Then can you line them up so I can kick them in the shin individually?
That doesn't work with them, unfortunately. WMFO Medford, I think we've said that already.
Like 9 times.
High earnings result of free enterprise. 71.2% of the American people believe that high earnings are the result of free enterprise. Only 67.1%. Of millennials. So here again is that 30% number.
Jesus H. Christ.
That's not a huge drop. That's like 4.1 percentage points. That's not a huge drop. And, you know, when you're young, you're poor, and you sit there and you're...
Not just when you're young.
Right. Well, no, but I mean, when you're young, when you first get out of college, you got nothing. You're poor. And you're like, well, this whole system is stacked against me. It doesn't work. What did I get this degree for? And then if you apply yourself to your job and make the right career moves, you start getting promoted. You start making more money, and you're like, "Hey,
this thing
works pretty well." You know, not everybody, but you know, a lot of people. So that number doesn't bother me this much. Government should allow private insurance. 86.5% of the total population says yes. 78.9% of millennials say yes. That's a kind of a non-starter question. I don't think that it necessarily, and we're talking about private health insurance in this context, I believe. I don't think that's necessarily a marker for socialism. Here's the number. Here's the one that's going to keep you up at night, Shay. Here's the one that's going to make the hairs.
Should I brace myself?
Yeah, here's the one that's going to make your hairs stand up on end. Prefer living in a socialist country. I would prefer to live in a socialist country. They asked people if they agree with this statement. 37.2% of the population at large said yes. That number is too high. But keep in mind, that includes your 30% hardcore leftists, as well as, you know, 7% of your independents, because there no conservative answered yes to that question.
of course.
37.2% of Americans, all Americans, would prefer to live in a socialist country. Amongst the youngs, 49.6%.
Shite.
Half.
I mean, darn.
Half.
Sorry.
That rounds up to half.
That's half.
Half?
Yeah.
Half of millennials and Gen Z would prefer to live in a socialist country.
Do they not get that they could never get Domino's again because that wouldn't exist?
To which my response would be, which socialist country you like to live in?
Yeah. Like, are you in China?
If you,
are you in Russia?
Right. If you want to live in a socialist country so badly, you can go to one right now.
Yeah, you totally can.
And they will probably welcome you, because one of the things about socialist countries is they tend to have a lot of out-migration.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they like white people.
No, they tend to have a lot of out-migration. So they suffer net population loss at a higher rate than non-socialist countries. So here's a couple of places that you might want to consider. Cuba. Great health care.
Yeah, I get it.
Don't speak out against the government if you want to preserve your freedom.
Plenty of beaches.
Beaches. Good cigars. Good rum. No jobs.
The jeans are very expensive.
You're going to be very poor, but you will have excellent health insurance. Cuba is a place you could go. Maybe you would like to go to...
And everyone will be marveled by the fact that your skin is so light compared to theirs.
Maybe you would like to go to China.
Everyone there is tan.
I don't know how socialist China is anymore. They're
most of China. I mean, you can go to the country and it kind of fades out. By the country, I mean like the countryside.
China may not let you in because China's got a lot of people.
Yeah,
and they're not.
China's trying to.
They're not really looking for more
people.
But if you choose to live in China, some of the things that you can enjoy are a social credit system that will prevent you from getting a bank loan if you watch pornography or smoke cigarettes.
So get it.
Or drink too much alcohol. Or if you are rude to people on the subway. You can't get a bank loan. You can't buy plane tickets.
But why would you ever need a plane ticket? Because why would you ever leave wonderful China?
You can enjoy an internet where everything that you access is approved by the government. Dissenting opinions will get you thrown in jail.
And I'm proud to be an American, because at least I know I'm free.
You can, what else can you enjoy in China? You can enjoy the thrills of occasional political re-education.
Many men with bowl cuts.
Forced labor, making products, because you spoke out against the government. And we're going to put you in a re-education camp. And have you make wallets or make iPhones.
I do like their hot sauce. Like, China knows how to do hot sauce.
Again, there are a lot of things to recommend about China, but those are aspects of that socialist government. Maybe you want to go to Russia. Russia's communist. I mean, that's as hardcore socialist as you get.
I would say that is as socialist as one can get.
I would not recommend going to Russia if you are a woman who enjoys having rights.
Or if you're a person who does not like vodka.
Or if you are gay and want to live.
Oh, yeah, that one too.
Because there's some issues there with that. You're really not allowed to be gay or a woman with rights in Russia. There's a lot of people...
I mean, you can try, but it's probably going to be a failed effort.
There's a lot of people protesting about that, but you can only protest...
The gay thing or the women thing?
Both. But you can only protest so much before you will either be tossed in a gulag or shot in the street.
Gulag is at least a fun word, though.
Yeah.
Gulag.
Not a fun place to be. But,
oh, absolutely not. But gulag.
Maybe.
Sounds like ganache.
If you don't like the idea of traveling halfway around the world, you would like to go to Venezuela, which is socialist.
Venezuela.
You're going to give up things like power and food, like electricity and food.
Oh, but food's so good.
But the government will take care of you. Everybody gets the same.
But...
Everybody gets the same lack of electricity and the same lack of food.
But what if I want a pizza?
The problem with this is these young people get this idea that socialism is somehow what we have in America, only everybody gets an equal opportunity. That it's exactly like America. Only, you know, everybody gets to have a good job and everybody gets to earn, like, good money. That is not what socialism is, kids.
Well, I believe, so when Karl Marx wrote, I can't remember the name of his manifesto, but he wrote
the Communist Manifesto.
That
would be the manifesto.
But he himself admitted that socialism is perfect on paper, but not good in execution.
Right.
And that's the thing, is that there are all these, for lack of a better way to refer to them, children who are like, oh, socialism's so great. It's like, no, it looks really great. Like,
yeah.
The idea looks fantastic. But when you actually try to execute the idea, it's not. There are things, like, you know, I'm a Bernie Sanders supporter, and like, I think that there are certain socialist values that would be very valuable to us, like universal health care and things of that nature, things that the government can easily implement. But
it wouldn't be easy.
It wouldn't be easy, but it would be feasible.
Yes.
Human beings are not, most human beings are not, I was going to say socially inclined, communally inclined.
But here's the thing.
We're a selfish species.
As Canada demonstrates, government health care and democracy can live side by side.
Absolutely.
You can have both.
That's what I'm saying, is that like it can be its own little separate entity. And it, honestly, if you look at the many European countries that have adopted social health care, it hasn't disrupted anything else.
Yeah.
They can live together while still having everything else be not.
But the other thing of it is
socialism. It's so weird that socialism, because you think socially, and it makes me think of like women going to have wine together.
When they press Bernie, when they press Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on this democratic socialism,
I love them so much.
What are you talking about?
I make out with both of them at the same time. I just lost myself in a tizzy.
Oh, it's going to be like Europe. And it's like, but none of those countries are socialist.
But that's my whole point.
They're all parliamentary or democracy.
You can have a
couple of them still have kings.
But that's my whole point, is that you can implement a socialist concept within a democracy without it disrupting the rest of the democracy.
Correct.
I fight with my brother about this constantly, where my brother's libertarian, and I always talk to him about
libertarianism is seductive as well, in its own way.
It is. I mean, I've dabbled.
It relies. The problem with libertarianism ultimately is it relies on the kindness of strangers,
which does not exist.
And without,
in my research, well, it does not exist.
I'm not going to say it doesn't exist, but without wanting to impeach my fellow Americans, I'm going to say it's in fairly short supply. You know, we're not walking down the street overwhelmed by the abundance of kindness from strangers that we encounter.
I told my brother, I've argued with him about this many a time, and we actually didn't speak for 3 months when he was a Trump supporter. Still is. Danny, wise up. Anyway, but I said to him, I was like, how much would it really put you out if we had universal health care? How much would it really put you out? Like, how much of a difference would it make in your life? He said, well, I don't know. I'd have to whip out the calculator. I was like, no, it wouldn't. Your taxes would be almost the exact same.
No, it would change. It would change.
But he wouldn't have to pay for health care anymore. And, well, the other thing I said to him, though, was, okay, if you want things to go the way that you want them to go because you're a libertarian, if your side wins, you can pay for my health care and plan my retirement. Otherwise, I'm screwed.
The general consensus that I've heard, because there are inevitably going to be people who are excluded from having to pay for health care because they live below the poverty level or they have X number of kids or what have you, is that
that's where I'm at right now.
We would all of us who have health care right now would be looking at an increase in what we pay for health care annually.
But you wouldn't pay for health care anymore. It would all be in your taxes and would still be less than what you are annually paying for health care, which I know for a fact
is
thousands of dollars.
That's where the research has been done and they said no, because I believe the same thing once upon a time.
Do you think I would make a statement if I hadn't researched it properly?
I have done the research, and the largest number of people who've analyzed this are in consensus that it would cost people who pay tax, it will cost the middle class right now. If you pay taxes and you have employer-sponsored health care or you buy your own health care, a universal health care system would cost you more. Not exponentially more. It might be a couple hundred dollars a year more than what you're paying now, but it would cost you more.
But
and some of the worst-case scenarios are like it would increase health care costs by 30% per household that pays taxes.
That's untrue. But the point being, if you woke up tomorrow and had a weird pain in your side and went to the doctor to get a CAT scan and found out that you had cancer, it would not cost you the hundreds of thousands of dollars to deal with it.
Well,
it's a...
No, but depending on your age and your...
Yeah, but I'm 17.
Hang on a second. Depending on your age and your career and your... general level of productivity, you may be denied coverage. They may say, we can't afford to treat your cancer. We're sorry.
No.
Yes.
Most countries, that is not true. Most countries that have social health care.
Most countries, that's exactly what they do.
No, I have a Canadian friend who has cancer.
Canada has, again, 36 million people. Go take a look at how Europe does it, particularly look at how the UK does it. If you want treatment, if you want a hip replacement, if you want treatment for rare cancers, things of that nature.
Well, Derek, I'll replace your hip. I had no idea you were that put out.
You have to go before a government review board that decides whether or not it is worth the public money to get you that treatment.
But if you're someone who has a decent chance to live, they vote in your favor.
Not always.
Typically.
Typically, yes, but...
I mean, not always, but if you're going to limp in there on a freaking cane...
If you're if you don't work anymore and you need a hip replacement, you're not going to get one. They will not pay for it.
Well, I'll give you a hip replacement.
Well, that's you can go get one yourself. But you're,
well, I'll just go get one myself, and then I'll take it out of my
your national health insurance program. Your national health insurance program will not pay for it.
But it's a matter of, I mean, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. It's, I mean, at this point, I've had skin cancer twice, and it's to the point where if I get it again, I'm a 32-year-old woman. I'm in generally good health. If I get it again, it's a pre-existing condition.
Yeah.
With how healthy I am otherwise, I'm screwed.
I'm just saying there are drawbacks here that need to be considered. You know,
if we had universal health care, they would look and just say, you know what? Yeah, you're going to live if we do this procedure to you.
Get to a certain age and they may be like, you had a good run.
I'm just going to tell everyone I'm 32 for the rest of my life. Yeah. I think that's going to go.
They have ways of knowing these things.
Oh, I thought that we could trick them all.
No.
Well, speaking of pre-existing conditions, in global news, England has announced that it will provide free sanitary products to high school students. The chancellor of the...
Exchequer?
Yes, Exchequer. I was going to say, I was like, oh my God, that word.
Chancellor of the Exchequer.
Philip Hammond said today in his spring statement, in a fully funded government program aimed at tackling period poverty. They will be available to secondary school and college students who are typically between the ages of 11 and 18. The program, which will be developed by the Department for Education, will be implemented in the next school year. I think this is dope. I know men don't like talking about this, but of all of the annoying things about being a woman, that ranks pretty high. And I myself, women listening, get an IUD. It makes that go away. But that is always like, it's a financial concern. It's a personal concern. And it's nice that, like, I mean, for so long, it's been such a men's world, if you will. And it's cool that the government is actually addressing, like, oh, this is super annoying. Let's help you out with this.
I think if you're going to give kids food, which a lot of public schools do, they give kids food who can't afford food, then yeah, by all means.
Like, they're expensive.
Yeah.
Like, a pack of maxi pads or something costs like $9.
I mean, it's when
that's,
I was
like 2-3 meals.
When I was going to school, I know that you could always go to the nurse's, like, girls could always go to the nurse's office and get stuff. It was always there. You know, I don't know if they'd provide you with like a month's supply, but
it's, well, that's the thing though, is that it's an embarrassing subject. That's why, like, honestly, even when I was typing this into my notes, I was sitting there being like, it's gonna be weird to talk about this on the radio. But it is, that's part of the problem, is that yes, you can go to the nurse's office and get it, but at the same time, it's an embarrassing thing when you're a young girl and you're having this thing that you really don't want, but is a natural part of being a woman. Like, it's embarrassing to, yeah, see, thumbs down, right? It's an embarrassing thing, and even to get the gall, to get the balls to go to the nurse's office to ask for one is I mean, it's an embarrassing thing.
I think it's a good move. I'm on board.
And yeah, well, to just take the guesswork out, because yeah, of course we could always go to the nurse's office, but at the same time, I don't want to go and be like, hey, do you want to know something really personal about me that's happening with my body?
Yeah, but
right
is
now?
It? But is it just as bad if like somebody walks into your homeroom and like puts like boxes of maxi pads and tampons on everybody's desks?
Not if everybody's taking them. That's the thing, is that like it's worse to just be the only one that's like, oh my goodness, I am bleeding internally right now.
Does it make you want to be a socialist? Is that where all this socialism fandom comes from?
Oh, God, I wish I had something to throw at you.
Also in the United Kingdom, breaking.
Oh, killing it with the UK tonight.
Breaking this afternoon. UK lawmakers vote to reject a no-deal Brexit.
Oh,
from
I saw that.
CNBC, UK lawmakers have rejected the idea of leaving the European Union without a Brexit deal in place, setting up another vote Thursday on whether its official departure date should be extended. A no-deal exit was widely expected to be defeated, as most members of Parliament want to avoid the economic uncertainty and trade disruptions that it could cause. However, the evening saw more drama than many had predicted, after lawmakers effectively hijacked Prime Minister Theresa May's parliamentary motion. May's government had asked Parliament to vote on ruling out a no-deal Brexit for the official March 29th deadline. But before that, MPs narrowly backed an amendment that rejected a no-deal Brexit under any circumstance. This important change led to May's government ordering its own MPs to vote against its own motion. In related news,
there's a reason we left this country.
In related news, Fall River Mayor Haziel F. Correa III.
Oh, stop talking about Fall River. My
was recalled and reelected in the same night. And the British MPs are voting against their own motion. Go Tories! But the amended motion still passed by 321 votes to 278. The vote was non-binding, but it showed the strength of feeling among lawmakers and will hold political weight in future debates. This is a hot mess. This is such a hot mess.
This is such, I mean,
why is Theresa May still the prime minister? Can we get rid of her?
Like, why? There's like 19 whys in the story. I mean, Jesus H. Christ. I don't know if you heard in your rant, but this is the reason, or one of many reasons, that we decided to become our own country.
Yeah. Well, no, because they didn't
independent of these dummies.
They didn't have this back then. I mean, they didn't, you know.
No, but they had similar absurdity.
We had the king telling us what to do, and we didn't like.
I mean, my other country exited them too.
Yeah.
So there was some bloodshed.
Yep.
Sorry, Ireland. I love you.
So, so the Brexit fun rolls on. They will vote tomorrow to delay the date of Brexit, which is going to happen, and Look, the United Kingdom has had multiple opportunities to get rid of Theresa May and get somebody who would walk into Brussels and be like, look, you need us more than we need you. These are what the terms are going to be. And if you don't like it, you can go kick rocks. We're not here to negotiate. We're not here to give you back doors. We're not here to play nice. We voted against this. Instead, you got Theresa May, who's like, well, you know, they don't really want to give us a deal. You're not there to ask them for the deal. You're there to tell them the terms.
Kick them in the shin, Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, there's such a level of pomposity involved with the whole Brexit thing. Like, it's, I mean, they, how do I say this properly on the radio? There is a stick in a place that sticks sometimes get shoved, and they're there right now.
Yeah.
Pomposity, that's the perfect word. Like, it's just a matter, like, who do you think you are? Why can you not just handle this?
You know what else you can do if you're going to stumble around like a bunch of twits? Is just say, you know what? Call it off. We're going to stay as part of the European Union.
Yeah. Like call it. Exactly. Figure it out or call it off.
Yeah.
Like, it's so absurd. Like, I mean, this is a freaking country. Like, it's not like this, listening to and reading about Brexit. It feels like a middle school fight between two girlfriends.
What it really is a bunch of nationalists who don't want immigrants. That's what it comes down to at the end of the day.
Yeah, pretty much right.
And a question over natural resources and whether or not, you know, the United Kingdom has the means to go it alone. And this is where the...
Remember when they owned India?
Remember the Scottish vote for independence a couple of years ago was all about those oil rights.
Remember when they killed a bunch of my ancestors because they wanted to keep Ireland?
Those were the Vikings. Oh, yeah. Them too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's killing your ancestors.
I know.
Sucks to be Irish.
So annoying like that.
Except on Sunday.
And they wouldn't let us into New York. Thank God they let us into Boston.
Sports or entertainment? You're going to choose entertainment.
Yeah, I hate sports. I usually just do it to entertain you. Entertainment's good. A day after being fingered in a bombshell college admissions investigation.
Boom. This is a sports story, too, by the way.
A judge ruled that actress Lori Loughlin can be released on $1 million bond.
Aunt Becky, what have you done?
As part of her bond arrangement, the 54-year-old is being permitted to travel within the continental U.S. as well as British Columbia, where she is currently filming. She will have to surrender her passport in November when her projects are expected to wrap. She's prohibited from speaking to anyone related to the case, with the exception of her famed fashion designer husband, Massimo
Giannulli.
I speak Italian, and I just was like, I don't want to say.
Depends on which part of Italy you're in.
Che bellissimo.
Giannulli.
Che bellissimo.
Molto
who is
bene.
Also a defendant the case, along with both of her daughters, who quote unquote could be witnesses.
This
is hilarious.
This story.
I watched this on the news this morning. It was just like, first of all, I love that it's Aunt Becky. Aunt Becky.
Second
of all, this is something that I have witnessed my entire life.
But hang on, first of all, she's not just Aunt Becky. She's also the face of the Hallmark Channel,
yeah,
which I adore. And I'm sorry to see the Hallmark Channel getting dragged by this. There, by the way, the fans of the Hallmark Channel are not having this, and they want her, like, kicked off the air.
Oh, my God. This is so
But it's
fun.
Also Felicity Huffman and William H. Macy were doing this.
I know. Like I said to my mother today, the thing I find the most hilarious about this is that everyone's acting so shocked.
Yeah.
It's just like when the Louis C.K. scandal broke, where because I'm a female comedian, everyone's like, aren't you like so shocked? I'm like, no. The most shocking part was that it wasn't the female comedy duo that we thought it was in that story that I've known for 5 years. This is, I mean, obviously, like, Claire Danes went to Yale. I love Claire Danes. I love her very much. She is a very talented actress. She is not smart enough to get into Yale on her own. She admitted it to me, to my face, when I had coffee with her.
Yeah, but Yale has an acting school.
She went for English.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did she get in at the acting school and then went for English, or?
No. Ooh. She was already famous.
Okay.
She was my aunt's student. That's how I met her.
See, all right. Now, let me put this in a little bit of context, because...
But it's like, I don't get why everyone's so shocked by this.
Well, but...
This is how things work.
But no, but here's...
If I learned anything from living in LA for 3 years, it's all just like, here, I know someone, then I'm going to get stuff.
You need context around this, because your view is correct, but it's not entirely informed. All right?
I beg your pardon.
Now... There is a long-standing... Well, all right, let me deal with our friend from Homeland and my so-called life first. What's her face?
Claire.
Yes. Claire Danes.
She is smart, but she's not Yale smart.
I love Claire Danes. Claire Danes is a great actress. Really, really good actress.
She's the ugliest crier in the whole world. Watch Claire Danes cry. It is hilarious.
If you are a university and somebody who is like a television star or a movie star or the child of the president...
Or Juliet and Romeo and Juliet.
Or the child of the president of the United States wants to come to your school... And you are Yale, or you are Harvard, or you're one of these prestige universities, you're going to lower your standards to get them in there. Because by virtue of having them at your school...
It's a good PR move.
It's good PR.
I'm not...
And everybody's like, I want...
But I'm saying, like, that's my whole point.
I want to go to Harvard. Natalie Portman's there. So that's...
Like, this is how these things work.
Right. That's a deliberate choice made by the university.
Like, I got into Fordham because I got good SAT scores, and I nailed my essay.
That's a deliberate...
Because my parents aren't famous.
That's a deliberate choice made by the university, and they're not taking away a spot from someone else to do that. They're basically saying, you know what, throw one more kid into the class because we can get famous child to come here, and it's good for us.
Yeah, that's my whole point.
It's fine. Don't have a problem with that. It goes on. Everybody knows it goes on. It's marketing is what that is. There is a second route that you can take to get into a university. And this has been discussed at some length today. This goes back generations, where if you are a graduate of a university and you would like to build them a new dormitory or maybe a wing on an academic facility
or
a museum, and you are willing to give the university, you know, a few million bucks.
That's why Millennium Hall exists at Fordham.
Want to give the university a few million bucks? We'll name it after you, and we'll take your kids regardless of what their scores are. And we will graduate
them. They were 680 out of 1600.
And there is some suggestion that Donald Trump Jr. may have benefited from this sort of university patronage.
At Fordham.
Okay. Now, again, this has been going on forever. Everyone who has the means... Okay, if you're rich enough, you can buy your kid a spot at Harvard. You can buy your kid a spot at Princeton. You can buy your kid a spot at Yale. You can buy
pretty much anything.
Boston University's business model partly revolves around wealthy international families sending their kids to Boston because they can pay a full ride.
Oh, that's weird. They've never hit on me, ever.
And the occasional, I guess you need a new science building kid that gets in. Again... In the grand scheme of it, how many kids are we talking about that get in on this? How many families can even afford that?
Yeah.
It's crappy, but for the university, you're getting a building out of it. You're getting money that you need.
And it's just the way the world works.
It benefits the entire student body, ultimately. So, yeah, we had to graduate, you know, Mr. Smith's dumb kid.
Was really helpful with that new library.
Yeah, that's the thing. Maybe we had to graduate Mr. President's dumb kid, but every student that comes here for the next 50 years is going to be able to use his library. That's a fair trade-off. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
This is something else entirely.
This is a dumb.
What this is...
Heading to an excellent university.
We have this clown named William Rick. That's his nickname, Rick. I don't know how you get Rick out of William.
Where do you get Rick from William?
William Rick
Singer. I can think of another word that rhymes with Rick. that I'd like to call him.
William Rick Singer got found out by the feds and turned state's evidence, which he's a rat. So that's never a good thing.
Jesus H.
And allowed the feds to wiretap his phone while he had conversations with parents. And there were two components to this scam. Basically, the parents would come to him, and these are people like Aunt Becky, okay?
Aunt Becky.
These are people like Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman who have money.
Yeah, like,
but they don't have
boatloads of money.
Well, but they don't have I'm going to build the university a library
that
money.
Amount of money. Yeah,
and they have unmotivated children that they would like to send to college to get a good degree, such as Lori Loughlin's daughter Olivia Jade, who is an Instagram influencer.
I was gonna say, and is a total moron. Like, look this girl up. The fact that she graduated from high school.
Yeah.
Is shocking.
Totally going to find herself kicked out.
Yeah,
of
like how
the University of Southern California.
Oh my God, she is going to last like 2 days at USC, even if this didn't happen. Like USC is one of the best schools in the country. For those of you who don't know, it is an excellent university and very, very difficult to get into. Up there with maybe not up there with Harvard and Yale, but up there with UCLA. University of Chicago, like it's a really good school that a lot of really hardworking kids would love to get into.
Apparently, Olivia Jade's videos were getting some interesting comments yesterday, according to one media source, including LOL bribery. That was one of them. Another one said, "You're going to jail."
Oh so, my God, that makes me so happy.
It's a tough day in the life of an influencer, but.
Well, she's a freaking dummy.
So here's how this worked. We've got.
Oh, at least she's pretty, though.
William Rick Singer, these parents would go to him, and he claimed to be an academic consultant. I'll help you get your kid into every school. The way that he did this was twofold. One thing that he would do. Is he would doctor the kids' SAT scores. So he had set it up so that the kids would go take the SATs. First, the parents would claim the kid had a learning disability and then send the kid to some, like, weekend SAT location where Singer had paid off the proctor. And then the proctor would review the student's test and correct it so that the student had better SAT scores. That was phase one. Let's make sure we have the SAT scores.
Just kick it old school and pay someone to take them for you.
Phase two. Come on. Oh, he did that in some cases. In some cases, he did that. Phase two is he had athletic program directors on the take, like the director of the sailing team at one school or the crew team at another school. And he's bribing these coaches, he's bribing these athletic directors, and they are admitting these kids as student athletes, which basically,
even though they have absolutely no athletic,
which basically
skill.
Guarantees them. In the case of Lori Loughlin's daughters, it was crew.
I love that if you look at the cut, she's listed as vlogger, Instagram influencer.
Yeah.
This is the saddest line of credits I've ever seen.
So in some cases...
Oh my goodness.
They photoshopped pictures of the kids' faces actual athletes.
You're kidding me. I didn't know that. And my goodness.
And they made up these backstories that the kids were star athletes in their states.
Well, and the funny thing is, too, I'm not trying to... Don't get me wrong. Crew, my sister rode... Like, it's very difficult.
Oh, no. Not rowers. Coxswains.
What?
Coxswains.
Explain.
You know what the coxswain is? It's the person at the front of the boat yelling stroke.
That person?
Yes.
They said they were those?
Yes.
Those are like people have that as a professional position.
And in Olivia Jade's case...
she does not look like a rower at all.
She's not. They got her in as a cox. And they actually posed her on an ergometer to prove that she was a coxswain. So she was a participant in this. And in some cases...
Oh, that freaking dummy.
In some cases, the kids had no idea at all that this was going on, that their parents had bribed their spots into existence. But in Olivia Jade's case, she was in on it.
Well, what I was going to say is that, like, my sister...
To the extent that she posed for a photograph, maybe she didn't know what the photograph was for.
I just looked at it.
Jesus. Maybe she thought it was another influencer campaign. More Amazon Spawn Con. I don't know. But I know that she actually participated in this one.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at it right now.
$200,000 per kid for the Laughlins to get their daughters into USC.
Well, it's like I said, like, my sister did crew, and I'm not discounting how difficult it can be. Like, I remember she trained to the point of throwing up once. Like, it was a big deal. But at the same time, she had never done it before going to college. My sister went to Georgetown. She had never done it before going to college. It's not that difficult a thing to pick up. But it is... I mean, it is something that you shouldn't lie about when you're being...
Now, the problem with this...
Like, I'm sorry. I can't stop laughing at the story. I mean, it's just absurd.
The problem with this is... These kids actually took away legitimate spots.
And it's like, she's hot. Exactly. Like, she's hot. She could just become a trophy wife.
Like, but the first day that she got to college, and then she's like, I don't even know why I'm here. I'm not planning on going to classes.
Whatever.
I'm just here for the party life. And it's like, oh my God.
Then why? And there is some kid.
Mommy wanted her to go to college.
I was going
to
say, there is some kid in Kansas who got, what is it, out of 2,400 now, who got a 2,300 on their SATs.
Who can't get in.
And has been working their butt off for 4 years, who can't get in because dumb mixed stupid face.
So that's
their spot.
That's what's different here. This isn't marketing. This isn't, we're going to pull the celebrity kid in.
Yeah, like, this is like somebody crossed a lot of lines, pulled the wrong strings,
right,
to get some moron.
This is,
he doesn't even want or deserve this opportunity. It's just like I was saying before, going to college is a wonderful privilege.
It is
so, like, Dad, if you're listening, thank you for paying for me to go to a really good private university. But it's such a wonderful privilege that so many people would kill for.
Yeah.
And to have your famous mom lie.
This is straight up, it's not even lying, it's bribery.
Yeah.
The coaches were on the take. The family hands over $200,000, $50,000 goes in the pocket of the coach, $50,000 goes to somebody else, Rick, whatever his name is, keeps a chunk for himself. Everybody's making money, and kids who legitimately should be at that school are losing opportunities, and that's why people are rightfully infuriated about this.
So what we're saying is, screw you, Aunt Becky, or whatever you are.
This isn't, we're trading a library for a Trump child to get a degree. I have no problem with trading a library for a Trump child to get a degree. If that's what, you know, because the kids get a library out of it at the end.
Yeah. Lori Loughlin, we are sitting on the campus of Tufts University. If you would like to build a library on Tufts University, your idiot daughter can go here.
No, I don't think Olivia Jade would last 2 minutes, 2 seconds. Two nanoseconds.
It's too cold for her, probably.
Two micro nanoseconds at Tufts University.
There's a reason that she went to USC. It's warm there all the time.
It's a good place to make the Instagram images. It's a good place to make the content.
My God, I almost punched my laptop looking at that.
She has a Sephora palette, and you don't. You're jealous. Just admit it.
I have 3 Sephora palettes.
Yeah, but people don't go to Sephora and be like, do you have the Shea palette?
I mean... Some of them might.
No one is going in asking for the Shea palette.
Well, they should, because it's filled with turquoise and purple and sparkles and love. Because
it's the only thing that works for gingers, and gingers are a problem.
I beg your pardon.
855-915-9636 is the telephone number. Anything else that I felt the need to bring? We'll talk about.
This show has big fat gone. I mean, it started with us not starting until 15 minutes into.
We'll talk about a lot of this stuff later on. I do in sports news.
Oh God, we have to talk about sports. I hate them.
I just briefly have to point out what happened yesterday.
Is it Mikal Kendricks?
No.
I did have a sports story, just so you know.
Cleveland Browns now have third best odds to win AFC championship.
Shite.
Sign of the apocalypse, ooh, kids.
Sorry, FCC.
Did you say shite? That's okay.
Oh, if it's Gaelic, it doesn't count.
Well, but don't say it anyway, but that's okay.
Now I'm going to say it every chance
no,
I get.
No, you're not. I'm just saying. Cleveland Browns now have third best odds to win AFC championship behind the Kansas City Chiefs and the New England Patriots.
What?
Why is this? Because yesterday they struck a bombshell deal with the New York Giants that sends Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh.
Odell Beckham Jr., second best wide receiver.
Say, that is a get right there.
In the NFL to the Cleveland Browns.
I don't even know that much about football, and I know that that's a get.
Unbelievable that this happened, because the Giants signed Beckham to a huge contract earlier this year.
Word up, I remember.
And now they've dealt
you
him
over. You kept talking about it. I kept not caring.
Now they've dealt him to the Browns. Also heading over to the Browns next season, Nick Chubb. Great running back.
An adorable name.
Kareem Hunt, who prior to getting suspended for domestic abuse was one of the leading running backs in the NFL. We don't know when or if he's coming back, but
I mean,
he will.
That's a 6-1, half dozen to another when it comes to NFL players.
I said after the draft last season, when Baker Mayfield was selected by the Cleveland Browns, that this was a team to watch. And then if you were sort of trying to bandwagon a team, or you needed a new team for whatever reason, or you're just getting into the NFL, I said, go watch the Cleveland Browns. Go become a Cleveland Browns fan. Because when Baker Mayfield gets there, you are going to be in on the ground floor of something very special. This team is serious about winning. And the moves that they've made this offseason, they've won. Everyone has already said the Browns have won free agency.
Yeah.
At a time when the Patriots may be vulnerable because of Brady and how well he can play. I hate to say it, but it's true. The Pittsburgh Steelers just lost two of their biggest players. The Baltimore Ravens are in the midst of a huge transition. The Cincinnati Bengals have a new head coach. The Browns, right now, on paper, win that division.
Well, and honestly, like, Ohio needs a win.
Yeah.
Like, I've been to Ohio, lovely state, a little boring in some parts, but generally very lovely. And they need to get.
Super.
Like, and their get's going to be football. Other sports.
They had LeBron for a while, and LeBron was good, and LeBron proved that, hey, you know what? You can actually do well with, like, sports in this town. So, you know, maybe we got to pay some attention to this football team. Yeah. So this is exciting.
I love that their team is named after a color. It's just kind of cool.
This being the Browns, by the way, all of the cynics out there.
Where are the purples?
All the cynics out there, as well as longtime Cleveland fans themselves, are going to be waiting for this to implode in spectacular fashion. It is the Browns.
It
could happen.
The Browns.
It could happen. But, man, this is one of the gutsiest moves I've seen a football team make in years.
I imagine Illinois is very annoyed right now.
Probably. Michigan is, too, because those are Ohio State guys that are going over there to the Browns. So,
how dare they?
Yeah. So if we get to if there is such a thing as a Browns-Patriots AFC championship game, that'd be interesting, because then you'd have all the Michigan and Ohio people picking sides in the thing and getting all worked up about it. But that's a big NFL story right there. And as I said, it's a great time to get in on the ground floor of the Browns if you're looking for an NFL team to root for, because they are stacked. They got some mad talent floating around over there, and they are going to be a big story in this upcoming NFL season. WMFO Medford.
WMFO.
On the Tell Mikey D, coming your way in about 9 minutes. Before that, our favorite things from the past week and the strangest things from the past week, right after this on The Big Picture.
Hi, this is James Brown, soul brother number one, always fighting. Now I'm fighting for your life. I'm fighting for your life because if you use drugs, you better leave it alone. Drugs are contagious. They're killers. Every drug is a killer. Stay away from drugs. Drugs will take your life away. And if you want to live, stay away from drugs. because they are super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad.
If you're a single man under the age of 35, you'd probably like to know what the ladies are looking for on an online dating site. A guy who had a few drinks and later got pulled over for buzz driving. See, that could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. And doesn't a guy who's back living with his parents but calls them my roommates just scream, Mr. Right?
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we're living our dream.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. We are about to wrap things up here, but first, we are going to tell you our favorite things from the last or coming week. And for me, I just found out about this service. It's so cool. It's called Yummy Walks, and it's this group of people that will take you around Boston. So Boston is known as America's walking city, and they will basically bring you on tours around certain neighborhoods that are highlighted by stopping in different restaurants and markets to eat some of Boston's fantastic food. And they have a lot of different tours, like based on what you'd like to do, your age, your particular preferences, but it seems like it's so cool. I really want to do it. Next time one of my friends visits, I'm totally doing this, and I think you should too. But if you want to look into it, it's at foodtoursboston.com, and I will go do one, and I will tell you what I think.
Nice. A sign of spring. Sullivan's has opened over on Castle Island.
Oh, I love Sully's.
And the other big sign of spring is the return of the Boston Flower and Garden Show and Indoor Allergy Exhibition at the Seaport World Trade Center. It is running from today through Sunday.
Oh, if I had a nickel.
5 days only for you to go in there and check out the flowers, learn about flowers and plants, learn about landscaping, get demonstrations on things. It is a great time.
Learn to not sneeze.
Because you get to, well, yeah, if you've got allergies, you may want to think twice about this one. But it is a great, great, great chance to go and think about spring and summer and look at beautiful landscape displays and floral displays. Pretty reasonable. It's at the Seaport World Trade Center, so you're kind of on your own to figure out the parking and the public transportation. Not the best getting there.
I recommend parking on Summer Street and walking.
But it is, well, it's also if you go on Sunday, which I'm planning to do, St. Patrick's Day Parade. So, it's going to be fun. But one thing to keep an eye out for, one of the exhibitors that is scheduled to be there is a company called Christina's World. And Christina is an importer of European Christmas ornaments.
Oh my goodness.
And gets some fantastic stuff every single year.
Oh, you sounded very British when you said that.
And I brought up the point last year that there were no Christmas ornaments for sale at any of the major upscale department stores in Boston.
Oh, that's true. I noticed that.
Yeah, which really annoyed the living heck out of me. I've bought stuff from her before. She gets really cool, really unique stuff. That's Christina's World and she'll be exhibiting and selling at the Boston Flower and Garden Show. That's just an added reason to go. If you like going to Topsfield Fair and seeing the you know
stuff.
The floral displays and the landscaping displays, this is that on like a trade show scale. It's huge. It's massive. And there's like all kinds of neat stuff.
It is not messing around.
It will take your mind off of winter and make you have a happy day. So that's through Sunday at the Seaport World Trade Center.
Happy day.
BostonFlowerShow.com for more information.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. We are wrapping things up here with The Big Picture, but before we go, we're going to tell you that's a thing that happened, which is the craziest story from last week that we could find. For me, Igloo Products Corporation is voluntarily recalling coolers from its Marine Elite line.
Ooh, yeah.
After reports that a Florida boy was trapped inside one. According to local station WSVN, 5-year-old Nicholas Waynes climbed inside his family's 72-quart Marine Elite cooler on March 2nd. The Florida news station reports that he was in the cooler playing hide and seek with the lid open before it shut and he was locked in. Nicholas's father, Robert Waynes of Pompano Beach, said in a Facebook post that his security camera caught the incident, which he posted on March 5th. After the incident, Igloo issued a safety alert on his website announcing the voluntary recall that identifies 8 models and item numbers, 4 of which the company says were sold at West Marine.
Yeah, not...
I mean, getting caught in the cooler, he was probably still fresh.
He was only in the cooler for a couple of seconds, but the kid could have suffocated if he'd been in there for much longer.
That is true.
And it's like, yeah.
I never think about, you know, people suffocating.
Like, why is there a lock on the cooler?
That's what I thought was the strangest part. Was just like, why?
Is the beer trying to escape? No, it's not.
Yeah, like, why does this not... stay open.
Boston.
Oh my goodness, something from Boston.
We haven't had one from Boston in years because nothing good ever happens here.
I would say usually we're just like Florida, right?
Yeah, Boston, Florida. Not Florida, Boston. MIT Technology Review published an article called The Hipster Effect, Why Anti-Conformists
that sounds like Boston.
Always End Up Looking the Same. This prompted a very angry letter from a reader who was infuriated that they used his picture to illustrate the story and claimed that he had now been given a derogatory label. Hipsters aren't cool, apparently, or observant, because the man in the picture was not the man who complained. Staff at the MIT Technology Review contacted Getty Images, the source of the photo, to find out about the model. As it turns out, the man who complained about the image is not the man in the image.
Oh my goodness.
This proves MIT's point that all hipsters look the same and gives the complainer's friends new reasons to mock him.
I served a bunch of people from MIT the other night. The most common thing that I said was, aren't you guys supposed to be smart?
I demand that you take down my picture that says all hipsters look the same.
You dumb dumb.
Sir, that's not a picture of you. Need I remind you that our thesis is, why do all nonconformists wind up looking the same? We also learned from this, by the way, that hipster is a derogatory label.
Yeah, I've been telling you that forever. Same with millennial.
Look, we all know that hipster is a derogatory label. No one likes them. But millennial is not... The way that I use millennial is a derogatory label.
You use it towards me, and I'm not a freaking millennial.
I'm pretty sure you are.
I am not.
You were born after 1984. You're a millennial.
I was born in 1986. There's not like a 2-year cushion?
No, you're a millennial.
Oh, God.
You're in it with those people.
Well, you know what? I'm going to call you old and mean.
That's fine.
Next time I pass you on the street.
That's fine. You can call me old all you want because it means I'm not a millennial.
No, just stop calling me a millennial.
We will be back next week to continue this discussion. Until then, Shea Spillane.
I love you all except for Derek.
And I'm Derek Gary. Stay safe, everybody.